Going on at the house?
Yes.
So, unfortunately, we're not going to hang out, but it's going to be amazing down there. So, all right, let's pray. Mighty King of Glory, we honor you today, God. We glorify your holy name, Father. Lord, you know where we are, God. You know where our hearts are, Father. You've cared for us. You watch over us every single day, God. And we are here, Lord, as we give you praise, Father. We're still seeking for you, God, to speak to us, oh God. To work mightily in our hearts, O King of Glory, Father, and move those things in our heart that needs to be moved, O King of Glory, God. For you to affect our areas, Jehovah God, from our lives, God, to our families, to our friends, to the things that we do, God. I just pray, King of Glory, Father, that tonight, Lord, that this word, Father, that you're going to speak through me, God, it will divide in many parts, O King of Glory, God. But it will be very specific for everybody, King of Glory, Jehovah God. That Jehovah God, they will hear you speaking to them directly into their life, O King of Glory, Father. Because you say you are good, good Father, King of Glory, God. And you speak to us, O God. And when we are children of yours, God, you say that when we ask for something, Lord, when we ask for bread, God, that we never get stones or rocks, O God. And so, mighty King of Glory, I'm praying tonight, God, that Jehovah God, our hearts are ready, King of Glory, Father, for you to work in us, O God. We praise you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, for those who are joining us today, this is we've been going through the book of Acts. And has it been powerful for you guys?
Yes.
Again, 25% of you guys.
Yes.
See, we gotta do this. We're gonna work on this thing, you know. So, has it been powerful for you guys?
Yes.
Yes. So it's amazing. So today we're gonna be on Acts 7, 17 to 23. And so from there it says, as the time drew near when God would fulfill His promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt greatly increased. But then a new king came to the throne of Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph. This king exploited our people and oppressed them, forcing parents to abandon their newborn babies so they would die. At that time, Moses was born, a beautiful child in God's eyes. His parents cared for him at home for 3 months. When they had abandoned him, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and raised him as her own. Moses was taught all the wisdom of Egyptians, and he was powerful in both speech and action. So in this verse here, remember, Stephen is the one who's speaking. So Stephen, he's being persecuted. And so instead of standing up and giving his own defense, he actually takes a moment to actually tell people about the gospel. And we can learn one or two things from that. Because most of the time when I get in trouble, the first thing I want to say is, well, let me explain why I got in trouble, right? Let me tell you why, you know, I did this. But Stephen is like, well, I know how this is probably going to end. So the best way for me to do it is just tell them what I believe. So then he knows that he's been called to preach. So he's like, if this is going to be my last moment, let me preach and let me tell you. And so at this point where we are on Acts 17, it's talking about the children of Israel. They had a promise that God was going to redeem them. And I love how he says, as the time drew near when God would fulfill his promise to Abraham. So God knew, he even though the children of Israel were there for 400 years, a time was drawing near. And sometimes we feel like God has put promises in our life, but then we are like, it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
It's been 6 months.
Yeah.
It's been a year. It's been 2 years. But this guy has been here for how many years? 400 years.
Yeah.
Yet God is saying, in a time due near when God would fulfill his promises. So to me, what it tells me is God has promises for me, and he has a date to fulfill those promises.
Yeah.
Right? And so on Acts 7:20, it says, at that time, Moses was born, a beautiful child in the eyes of God. And I was looking at Matthew Henry, he said, the verse explained to this verse, he says, he was wonderfully preserved in his infancy, for God would take special care for those whom he designed to make special use. What I love about this is, I love that, even in the worst situation, because what was happening is, King Pharaoh had said, any male child that's born has to be killed. And then it got to a point where they wouldn't kill them, so it was like, well, any male child that's sinned, throw them in the well. And at that time, would we say that it was a good time or a bad time? A bad time, right? But yet, what does God say? God says a beautiful child was in God's eyes. Even through that mess, God still saw something beautiful. Yes. Sometimes I wish I could see the way God sees in our life, right? Because sometimes things are not very beautiful in my life. Things are crazy. Things are going on around us. But yet, if I focus my eyes and I see what God is seeing, then I can see something beautiful in that. I think about the women who had children that time. I think about how they were thinking. Some of them who knew, I don't know if they knew how, sometimes, you know, they say you can look at a woman and tell if it's a boy or a girl, you know. So maybe back then they didn't have the test that we do, but they didn't, but I know maybe they looked at them. And you can imagine the woman, somebody looked at her and was like, oh, you're glowing, you're going to have a boy. Right? Think about that. You're going to have a boy. They wish that wasn't going to happen. But then when we look at God, he's saying, a beautiful child in God's eyes. Right? So we look at the Moses story, and when I was thinking of Moses' story in that aspect, Moses' story is actually beautiful. Yeah. Because Moses, quick recap, we probably heard of Moses. So Moses is born during that period. So when he's born during that period, his mom keeps him for a couple of months. But then he's getting too big, so they cannot hide him anymore. So they take Moses, put him by the river, so hiding him during the day, and then his sister would come and watch over him. And then one day, Pharaoh's daughter was coming over. And so when she was over there, she saw a baby and took the baby, right? Remember what God says, a beautiful child in God's eyes. He's creating a way, even in the mess of all that's happening. Because we read the Bible sometimes and you're like, yeah, it's a cute story, but what are the odds that Moses is in there, Pharaoh's daughter comes in, takes that baby, and now finds the mom who had already, when she knew she was pregnant with a boy, was already despairing because Moses has already been sentenced to death, right? Yeah. By the fact that he's born. But yet, now the mom is getting paid to take care of the baby. Yeah. What does that say about God's timing? What does that say about God's faithfulness? What does that say about the plans that God has for us? And I love, like I said, Matthew Henry, he says, God will take special care for those whom he designed to make special use. But the Bible tells me that each and every one of us, God has called us. He has a plan for us. So we all are to be used in a special way. And if we allow God to do that and not worry about the stuff that's carrying us and not worry about the things in our life and just focus on God, then something beautiful, even in that mess, is going to come out. Yeah. Yeah. Acts 7:22 says, Moses was taught all the wisdom of Egyptian. He was powerful in both speech and action. So not only Moses, who was destined to death, not only is he just going to be a normal kid, but he's going to get the best of the best. Not only Moses is going to grow up in a very remote place, but he's going to grow in Bellevue, for all of you that have reference, right? 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 You think about it, because he's the guy who was going to be killed, but now he has all the life. And the Bible says Moses was taught all the wisdom of the Egyptian. He was powerful, both speech and action. I was looking up, it says Moses learned geography, geometry, arithmetic, astronomy, natural history, physics, and many more. And we know, because the Bible says that he was powerful in both speech and action, we know that he overpowered the Egyptian soldier and killed him. So he was strong, yeah. Right? And for those of you who don't know about that, is so Moses is, he's a little older and he goes out to check on his brothers, the Israelites, who've been made slaves. And in the process, he finds one of the Egyptians beating the Israelites. And so he kills the Israelites. And so at that point, it tells us that Moses was strong, right? Yeah. So why do I tell you all this? Let's look again at verse 22. Moses was taught all the wisdom of the Egyptian, and he was powerful in both speech and action. But then we look at Exodus 3:9. So God, Moses has run away already 40 years and he's out in the desert and he sees a burning bush and God is talking here on verse 39. He says, look, the cry of my people of Israel has reached me and I've seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. Exodus 4:10 says, but Moses pleaded with God. Oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get untied and my words get tangled. So the same Moses that grew up as mighty, eloquent, he has the power, he has everything for 40 years. For some reason, when God came to talk to him, he says, I never have, and I'm not now. In other words, I have no idea what you're talking about, God. Right?
That's good,
and so what happened? I know that Moses was in the desert for 40 years, but what really happened? Well, I'm glad you're here. We can find out. So Jeremiah 1:5 says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the many nations. And so my question for you today is, do you know who you are? Because we all have a calling. Jeremiah tells me that we were formed, when before we were formed, there was a plan for us. We were set apart, right? So do we know who we are? See, the thing is, I want to remind you that today we have all been called. We've all been called to the work of God. And I'll let that sink in for a minute.
Yes.
We have all been called to the work of God. And I know it's hard to believe that some of us are actually called to be in the work of God. I know you're probably thinking like, no, him, mm-mm, no. I don't know, you know. But the Bible says that we have all been called to the work of God.
Yes.
See, because all of us were created for a purpose. But you know what? The enemy knows that. And that's why he will do everything he can to make you forget who you are.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, Moses was in the desert. And if the enemy can take a moment to take you from where you are and put you in the desert, then he can start chipping on your identity every single time. He can start chipping on your identity because in that desert, you can start losing hope. You can start forgetting what God has called you to do. And I know that there are so many different things that puts us in a desert. But I know the work of the enemy is to divide and conquer. And if only he can move you from who God has called you to be and who God has already said in your life and the things that God has said you, if he can only move you out from that and put you in the desert like Moses, then he can start chipping at you slowly by slowly. And then the next minute, somebody who's already been empowered, somebody who already knows the word of God, somebody who already knows the power of God can get to a point where they say, I never have been and I'm not, even though you have spoken to me.
Yeah.
Even though you've spoken to me, I have never been and I'm not even now. Because your identity has been chipped away in the desert.
Wow, that's good.
Sometimes we may end up in the desert by our own choices. I know many times in my life I've done that. Right? I don't want to list all the things I've done, so I'll leave the blank there for you guys to do that, for the things that you have done, okay? The things that put you in the desert, right? But see, the thing is, even Moses, he puts himself in the desert because Moses killed an Egyptian and he ran. That wasn't God's plan for him to kill. That wasn't for God to... Yes, God is going to work things out good for those who love him and care for him and those who seek him and those who he's called for a purpose. But that wasn't him. And I know even for us sometimes, you know, there are things we do, but then you are like, Lord, most probably is the one who put me here. But no, you have put yourself there.
Yeah.
And you have put yourself in that desert.
Yeah.
Other times we just drift away. And if you drift away, before you know it, you find yourself in a desert.
Yeah.
What do I mean by that? You are not reading your word. You are not praying. You're hanging out with the wrong people. You are not taking time to worship. You're not even listening to God.
Yeah.
If you're not growing, you're dying.
Yeah.
And if you're not growing, you're drifting away.
Yeah.
This was very powerful to me. Excuse me. This was very powerful to me the last 3 weeks. So we just came from Kenya, which was good. You guys almost lost me because I missed Kenya, okay? You're like, go, Mugi. It's okay, we'll find another Mugi. Oh, thank you. That's what I was waiting for. But when I saw, we went to Kenya and we were there for 5 weeks and it was amazing and we did amazing things. And then I came back. And just coming back, it was the hardest, those I've talked to, it was the hardest time I've ever gone somewhere. In Kenya, I've gone to Kenya a couple of times. It was the hardest part for me to come back. I came back and I'm like, I don't want to be here. I want to go back to Kenya. I just want to go. Yes, I can be, I can do, I was doing ministry there. I know. I was doing ministry there. I had my family there. Life was good, yes, and all that stuff. And even when as I worked, I was pushing myself. I would wake up, I'm like, I do not want to do anything. And now let me tell you something, Ariel. The reason why your employer gives you 2 weeks is because after 2 weeks, you can come back. Okay? If you take more than 2 weeks, you ain't coming back mentally. It will take you another 4 weeks for you to be able to be back. So I always thought that, but now I understand why I say, can I go to Kenya for 3 weeks? They're like, no, I need you here for after two weeks. Now I know. But this was the thing that happened, and that's what shocked me. It's in the process. The first week, I'm like, okay, I have jet lag, and I'm just tired. And the second week, I'm like, I don't want to do anything. I just want to go back home. And I'm looking at those memories, and I'm looking at all those things. By the second and a half week, I started telling myself, I don't make a difference here. Why do I make, I don't make a difference. Yeah, I'm like, I can go back home and I can do more ministry. Those people speak Swahili. I speak Swahili too. It's better, right? For me. But I started telling myself, I can go back there. I'm looking at the things I'm affecting. I'm like, I can take my family. We can go there. We can do ministry. Right? I know I've been called to ministry, but we can do ministry. Yeah. And slowly by slowly, I'm walking towards the desert. Slowly by slowly. Slowly by slowly. Slowly by slowly, I'm like, it's getting warm. Okay? It's getting warm because the warm feeling, like, yes, this is amazing. This is good. I can go home. I moved my business in my mind already. I moved my family. We had a really an amazing place for us to stay. You know, I had all these things planning. We came to vacation in America every so often. That was a good life, right? But the thing is, I stopped myself in the middle of it as I was praying, because the other part of that, honestly, can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
The other part of that was, throughout the time that I was in Kenya, after the missionary and all that stuff and hanging out with family, my Bible life really went down. I would, yes, I want to spend time with God. Yes, I want to pray. The time that I schedule, my wife and I, we talked about that. The time we want to pray, the time we want to do the things that we do, the schedule where we see God throughout the day, whether it's the morning, in the evening, also, it all went down. And that became the crack that the enemy was getting in there. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, I want to go back home. But then I remembered, God has called me here.
Yes.
God has called me here. And in that moment, I was preparing this message and I was like, oh my goodness, this is what happened to Moses. Yeah. You know? Because it says, the enemy, he says, I'm not very good with words. I've never been. I'm not. We know that Moses was powerful in both speech and action. Yet, he gets to a point where he feels useless. Yeah. Then everything started eroding and his identity is forgotten. We can look at Moses and point fingers, but the fact is that most of the time, we find ourselves denying who God has said we are. Yeah. Yeah. Instead, we start going for the labels the world and the enemy is telling us.
Yeah.
God tells you to do something, you're like, but God, I'm fearful. I mean, I don't have a word to invite them to church. But God, I'm weak. I mean, I can't quit. This addiction is too much. I don't have the strength to do it. But God, I can't, because Lord, your strength is not sufficient in me. That's what we are saying. When you say, God, I can't. God, I can't. We are telling him that he who has told me that I am this, that I'm telling him I've never been. And even now I'm not. Right? See, unless we really know who we are in Christ, every other label is going to destroy us. We got to know our identity. Because if you know who you are, if Moses at that point, yes, there is redemption that comes later on. But at that moment, when Moses was about to go and probably beat up the Egyptian, if he knew who he was, if he remembers his identity, when he was in the desert, in there when God was calling him and saying, come on, let me rescue you and take you back and take care of you, then he would have remembered who he was. He would have said, I've never been and I'm not even now. Are you guys awake?
Yes.
Okay. So Moses spent 40 years being taught and made great. 40 years in the palace. 40 years being educated. 40 years being fed, being shown all these amazing things. Everything the Egyptian, the loyal Egyptian knew. Yet the desert eroded that. And I know that Moses was probably fearful because there's a point where he says, God, I can go and face Pharaoh. But see, fear is dangerous because it has so many roots. Fear is dangerous because it has so many roots. Fear has pride, it has insecurity, it has lack of trust, it has selfishness. It has all these things, the list is long. But I know what, that fear does not please God. If anything, it angers God. Exodus 4:11-14, it says, for the Lord asked Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Who decide whether people speak or do not speak? Hear or do not hear? See or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I'll be with you as you speak. And there's an exclamation, now go. Like, dude, let's go. And I will instruct you in what to say. Verse 13, but Moses again pleaded, please, Lord, send anyone else. Verse 14, the Lord became angry with Moses. All right, he said, what about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he speaks well. And look, he's on his way. He will be delighted to see you. So, you have to read the Bible in an epic way sometimes, okay? Cause, you know, you're like, yeah, the Lord says, and here is Aaron, come on. He will be delighted to see you. But God is angry. And he's saying, he will be delighted to see you. Right? And see, we have to realize that these things that we hold on to, these labels that we hold on to, they're not just labels. They're things that anger God so much. That when he has a plan and a purpose and he wants to call you and send you somewhere so you can go, so then you can affect another generation, so you can affect other people. But then you say, I am not this. I've never been this. It angers God. And even when he sends you, he's saying, go with Aaron, because I'm not going to go with you. Right? Go with Aaron. Go. Where's Q? Go with Aaron, because that's what happened. But do you want to go with somebody else, or do you want to go with God who's called you, planned it, and that all the things that he's done for you? Right? Well, I'll tell you what, though. Even though you don't want to be in the desert, the question is, do you need some time in the desert? Do you? The desert is not a joke, man. Yeah. I don't like the desert. However, we see Moses in the desert. And through those hard times, because you think about it, he lived in a palace. He got all the cool stuff. He did all the good things. He had the good food, he had good, the fine stuff. And still, he sinned because he killed somebody. So God had to put him in a place where he has to strip all that pride down. He went from a place where everything was given to him, sleeping on royal beds, to a place where he had to tend sheep, and that was his work. Because he sinned in anger. Ephesians 4:26 says, Don't sin by letting anger control you. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Control your anger, because you see what anger did. It affected Moses' future. And you might say, I don't have anger, but you know what? Well, what's your anger inside the blank? Control whatever is pulling you away from Christ. Control whatever is giving you a different identity from what Christ has called you. Control whatever is stopping you to be what God has already called you in your life. So stop that and listen to God. Control it. Destroy it. Bring it to Christ. Tell him to take it and to just eliminate it. So then that way you can stay where God has put you for a time that he wants you there. See, I know about the desert a little bit. I didn't really know about the desert until we were flying to Kenya and we went through Dubai. And as we went through Dubai, it was 7 o'clock. It was, maybe you guys going to the desert, it might not be as crazy as I think in my head. But it was 7 o'clock at night and it was 109 degrees. And I was researching and it said that during some time, it will be 125 and the sandstorm is still going to be there as well. That is hot. That is super hot. And so when you think about it, you either going to change where you are, where you have the red chairs and the AC and the fans, or God is going to take you and put you in the desert where it's 125 degrees hot with a sandstorm coming. When you wake up in the morning, you're trying to see, okay, things are going to go. They start going really bad because you're not trusting in God. Then it's 10 o'clock, something else comes in. You are like 105 at that point. Then midday, something else happens, and you're 110. Then before you think, you know, you can get out of this because you're trying to do it on your own, then it's 125, and there is sand coming on. Yeah. Is that where we want to be? No. See, I love to conserve energy. I tell God, Lord, do whatever it takes to keep me there under the AC. I like it. I don't want to be in the desert. Well, not of you guys. Okay, me, you know, I don't want to be in the desert. Do you want to be in the desert? I don't want to be in the desert. So 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are not like that. For you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of darkness into the wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. Think about that. We had no identity. We are in a place where we are in darkness, but now we are in wonderful light. A beautiful child inside the midst of all the things that are going on. Wonderful light, no matter the world that we are in today. So many crazy things. It's a dark, dark world. But yet God is calling you and saying, you get to show people God's goodness. Yes. Yeah. How do you get to show people God's goodness if you're in the desert? Yeah. Yeah. How do you get to show them that? You don't, because you're in the desert. You need to be where God has put you. So then no matter how the world is dark, you can still be a wonderful light. Not just a light, but a wonderful light. Yes. Where people want to come, where people want to be. Where people want to know, why are you like this? What is affecting your life? How come your life is like this? I see everybody else running towards this side, but you're just here standing and you look happy. What's going on? And then you can tell them about the wonderful God that we live for. Yes. We need to know who we are. We really do need to know who we are. Especially in these times, we really, really need to know who we are. Because every time you turn around, no matter where you turn around, somebody or something is trying to tell you who you might be or who you're supposed to be. But see, that's the enemy, because he knows if I start moving these labels of who you are and your identity, then I don't even need to fight you. You can fight your own self, because now you're going to start defending the new label and title that you have, and you're going to forget what God has called you already. See, human beings, we are adaptive creatures. And that's our strength. However, that's our weakness too. Yeah. There is dangers in the desert. And the reason I say that we are adaptive is because during this time that Moses is in the desert, he gets married. He has kids. Woo. Right? Yeah. He's in the desert. Don't forget that. Yeah. He gets married. He has kids. He has goats. The dude is doing well, right? Yeah. In the terms of everything that was happening, right? And you can argue that he was doing really, really good when you look at his career. You know, everything is going well. But see, when you look at the natural eyes, you think that life is good. But when you look at his purpose, when you look in a spiritual way, you realize that he is in the wrong place. Yeah. He is just comfortable with what he's doing.
Yeah.
See, that's what we do. We get to a point where God has called us. We are fighting and we are not listening and we are not doing that. And we go to a different place. And instead of fighting to come back, the enemy convinces us that that's what we are supposed to do. The next time we are married, we have kids. We have all these. The job is good. When we look, when we count how many ships we have compared to other people, that how many ships they have, then we feel good about it. However, if we just sit back a little bit and ask God, what's our purpose? Is this where we are supposed to be? Then at that moment, you can realize that no, that's not where you're supposed to be. Whatever you have, no matter how big your bank account is, no matter how life is, no matter what's going on, no matter how good your job is, no matter how amazing your kids are, no matter how inside the blank it is, if you're in the wrong purpose, that's the worst thing that you can ever be. But even if you have little over here and you just trust God and you're in God's purpose, he will take care of his own. Romans 8:26, we know that God causes everything to work good together for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose for them. Moses was not called to be a good person. He was not a good dude, man. He was not. God had rescued him since birth to be greater, to go out there and do great things for him. Yet in the desert, he became very comfortable and settled against what God had called him to do. I wonder how many of us are settling to be God, to be good people.
Good.
You're supposed to be in the palace. You're supposed to be catered for. You're supposed to be living this amazing life so then God can affect you and affect the people around you. So you can be that that wonderful light in the middle of that chaos.
Yes.
Yet we leave all that and then we decide to go and become goat herders. I wonder what part of my life, because I know sometimes I go back and forth. There are times when I'm in the palace and I'm doing what God wants. But then there are times when I start pulling away from God, like that time when you know, where even if I was drifting. And then I don't realize that before long, I'm over here celebrating the little goats, you know, I have and all the new family I have and all that stuff. Well, God is saying, that is not where I've put you. That's not where I've put you. See, we are so comfortable that we don't even smell the deep. We don't even smell the goats. Think about it that way. We are so comfortable that the stench is around us. Stuff that the devil has put around us. That somebody who lived in the palace for 40 years can be in the desert and then it becomes very comfortable. And you think about it, when you are young, that's when you learn stuff. That's when you become used to behaviors and all that stuff. So he's already experienced this life for 40 years. And now you're going to change that? And then he never even remembers that? The enemy is powerful. But we enable him to do that. We enable him to do that because we walk away from Christ. How long are you going to be in the desert? How long are you going to be in the desert? How long are you going to be in the desert? Exodus 3:1-4. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of the bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flame, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush. Moses, Moses. And he replied, here I am. You know, every time I read that, I'm like, man, that's really good that God would go to that extent to light a fire just for Moses. Must be nice, huh? Right? What about me, Lord, when I'm lost? Why can't I have a burning bush? A burning bush will make me change my life, right? Right?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe my fireplace, something, I don't know, right? Must be nice for Moses, right?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? This message is your burning bush.
Yeah.
This message is your burning bush.
Good.
You can't say that you haven't heard the call of Christ. You can't say that you haven't heard Christ telling you that you've lost your identity.
Yeah.
You can't say that you do not know the voice of God, that you haven't been trained, that you haven't been shown all these mighty things. You can't say that you cannot speak the word of God. You can't say that you are not strong. You cannot say that.
Yeah.
And even if you say that, God knows who gave you the lips.
Yeah.
Who gave you the words? See, I gotta recommend Moses though. Because when Moses was called, he said, "Here I am." So he knew that he needed to go. The issue with most of us is we're in the desert. And somebody is screaming from the top of their lung and saying, "You are in the desert. Come on, get out. Come on, get out." I don't want to call it names, but I was going to say James, Michael, whatever. So they call those names. Everybody,
yeah.
God is calling you.
Yeah.
He's calling your name and saying, "Get out of the desert. Come here." And all you have to say is, "Here I am." Because
yeah.
That point there, even though Moses fought, even though Moses said he can't speak, even though Moses said all those things, the fact that he said, "Here I am," was a way to show that he was ready to get out of the desert. And sometimes we want to formulate all these plans. Hey, I'm going to say yes, and then I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do all this, and I'm going to do all this. This is an example of somebody who was called by God and said, "Here I am," even though he didn't want to do none of the other stuff. But God said to him, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak? Hear or do not hear? See or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I'll be with you as you speak, and I'll instruct you what to say. See, this evening, I feel like there are people who are being told that. God is saying, it doesn't matter what you're thinking or what you formulated to be. All I need you to do is say, "Here I am." And God says, "I have given you a mouth. I tell you what to say. I tell you what to do. I tell you where to go. I tell you who to avoid. I do all those things because I will be with you as you speak."
Yeah.
I'll be with you as you speak. Think about it. Moses has been sent back to where he came from. But God is not saying, "I'm not just sending you," but he's saying, "I will be with you when you speak." So Moses, even though he thinks that he has to go alone, God is saying, even though I'm sending you, I am with you, because when you speak, where you're going to be speaking, where I send you, I will be there with you.
Yes.
So Moses doesn't need to do anything. All he has to do is go.
Yes.
All he has to do is trust.
Yes.
All he has to do is say, "Here I am. Use me, Lord."
Yes.
Let's all stand up. Lord Jesus, we praise you tonight, God. I honor you, God, because, Father, with this story, you show us that no matter how far we are gone, God, no matter where we are in our life, no matter what's going on, Jesus, that, Jehovah God, you still seek us, you still go and you get us, O King of Glory, Father. You tell us, Lord, that you leave 99, O King of Glory, to go get that one that's lost, O God. And this just shows your love, mighty King of Glory, God. Tonight, Father, I know, Lord, as you see your children, God, that you see some of us, God, who are lost, King of Glory, God, that you created us, O King of Glory, with a plan and a purpose, Lord.
Yes.
You had a path for us, God. You are going to use us for greater stuff, O God.
Yes.
That, Jehovah God, we are going to be that wonderful light, O King of Glory, Jehovah God. But in the process of life, O King of Glory, Jesus, we took it upon ourselves, Lord, and we find ourselves in the desert tonight, O God. Mighty King of Glory, Father, we don't want to be in the desert any longer than now, King of Glory, Jesus. We're asking you, Father, in the precious name of Jesus, God, that, Father, we will hear your calling tonight, O God, so that, Jehovah God, you can hear us, O God, And we can be rescued, Father, and we can move from the desert. This evening, I'm going to ask anybody who hasn't given their life to Christ. Somebody who knows that they're in the desert and God is nudging your heart. Even for those who have given their life to Christ, yet you know and you know and you know that you are not where Christ has put you. I want to ask you to take a moment and just cry out to God tonight. Cry out tonight and ask Him, Lord, what do I need to do to get out of this desert? Lord, what do I need to do to get out of this desert? Lord, what do I need to do to get out of this desert? Here I am. Here I am. Search my heart, Lord. Search my heart, King of Glory, God, and change my life. Put me back in the path that you've called me, God. I want to do those great things that you've already called me, King of Glory, God. And Lord, even some of us just, I want you to just fix my life right now, Lord. I want you to fix my family life right now, Jesus. I want you to fix my life, King of Glory, God. Because all the things I'm going on through right now, Jehovah God, even though sometimes they look like it's a good place, I'm just with the sheep right now, Lord. And I'm not supposed to be there, God. I ask you, Lord, to change me, King of Glory, Father, so the enemy does not have an opportunity to change my identity. I ask you, Father, that you may restore my identity tonight, God. That you may restore me to be who you created me to be, God. I ask you, Lord, I ask you, Father, to do whatever it takes, mighty King of Glory, God. Whatever it takes, O King of Glory, to restore me, Lord. Restore me, Father, I pray, Lord. Lord, I praise you for your people tonight, God. I ask you, Jehovah God, that you may meet them, Father, exactly where they need to be met, O God. That, Jehovah God, there is no fluff, O God. That even if they're smelling like sheep, O King of Glory, Father, let them know that they're smelling like sheep, O God. Send people around them to tell them that they smell like sheep, God, and that they're in the desert, O King of Glory, God. Father, talk to your people. Tug their hearts, O King of Glory, God. Change them, O God. Father, I pray for this word, Jehovah God. I pray a covering over this word, God, that the enemy will not be able to steal it, no matter what, God. I pray, Jehovah God, that it will get deep roots, O God. Not the roots of fear, God, but the roots of what you've called us to be, Lord. We praise you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, have a good one. Go get your kids. They miss you and they love you. And see you Sunday.
Thank you for watching the Faith and Victory live stream. If you'd like to learn more about our church, please check us out online at faithandvictory.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, and we'd love to connect with you there. If you'd like to financially support Faith and Victory Church's ministry, please text FAVC to 77977. God bless you and keep you. From the FVC Live team. Thank you for watching the